Hello, everyone. Welcome back to For the Girls. So first stop of the triple header is done. We had the Spanish Grand Prix this weekend, so we'll do a fun recap for that. And then we have Austria and Silverstone back-to-back following this weekend, so we'll have a little quick Austrian Grand Prix preview as well. And before we jump in, reminder to subscribe to the Sustainability Newsletter. It's absolutely incredible. You'll learn so much. And reminder as well that all of our Patreon members can submit hot takes via SpeakPipe to be included in our preview episodes. So definitely get on board and send us those as well. With that, I'm Chessa.
I'm Sarah.
And I'm Tiggy. Okay, the Spanish Grand Prix. I absolutely loved this race. I thought it was so fun. There was maybe a little bit of less drama. There was a little less drama towards the middle of the race, but it was just so fun not knowing who the podium was going to be the entire time. And obviously, I'm extremely happy to see Lewis back on podium. We will get to my hot take, but super excited that Mercedes upgrade seemed to be performing well. Also really fun. I know Max was many seconds ahead for most of the race, but had a little bit of drama with Lando maybe being able to catch him and just a lot of stuff happening up and down the grid. So loved that and really enjoyed watching in Brooklyn live this morning. So that was a blast. And also on Thursday, I went to an F1 Femme event in New York, which was so fun and met some of you there, which was amazing. So a lot of fun sports things. Also SailGP. So many things.
Yes, and you had the F1 Femme thing at Rays, right?
Yeah, it was at
which
Rays.
Which is the Cousin Greg's bar, if anyone knows what we mean.
Unfortunately, nothing can top Chessa watching Quali from a Greek island, though.
Yeah, sad.
It was nice that I got to watch it with my dad. For me, yeah, I think this race definitely, we've been pretty spoiled, so it definitely didn't have as much of the nail-biter drama, except for obviously that start, which we'll talk about, which was incredible. I loved seeing, not knowing what was going to happen and seeing McLaren and Mercedes really duke it out was very, very entertaining. It could have really been anyone. So I was happy about that. And of course, when you think about it being anyone's, it really does come down to pit stops and some strategies there, which we'll talk about. But overall, really great race. My hot takes, I can sense Tiggy pre-gloating already. Mine did not play out. So we'll,
well, you've had a couple weeks of gloating, yeah, so give it to someone else for a change.
I really liked this whole weekend. I agree. I think Canada was so crazy that we were a bit spoiled by that. But overall, still thought it was an incredible race. It's so refreshing to see that it's not just a couple race fluke. It seems like for the rest of the season, we really are going to have a fight for every podium spot on our hands, with Max maybe still winning, but really having to work for it, only winning by a few seconds.
And the word maybe still winning. That's the thing.
Exactly. Maybe. Yes. And it truly did seem like McLaren was the faster car this weekend. Max said as much. Lando said as much. Lando was really harsh on himself about not being able to convert the pole into a win. But it just goes to show, again, Max's talent of being able to extract absolutely everything from the car. One, from his own talent and extracting everything he could versus Red Bull automatically having the fastest car on the grid, which is a really exciting change of pace. And also excited to talk about some of the Ferrari drama. Just a tough weekend for both drivers. A lot of issues with infighting. Charles having that weird contact with Lando that there's video of both Lando and Max talking about, being upset about. That was things seem to have devolved over there since Monaco.
And Carlos had some bad luck at his home race. I was just thinking, I mean, obviously I love Lewis, but just being overtaken by the driver who has taken your seat for next year and then feeling like you deserved a penalty or given the spot back and just not getting it. There were so many like bad luck moments, I feel like, for Carlos this weekend. I did feel a bit bad for him.
Yeah.
For MVPs, I have to go with Lewis. I can't say anyone else. I'm so, so happy that he was feeling the upgrades again. Hopefully, I mean, it's only been two races, but maybe there's a little bit more consistency. They're figuring out the car a bit more. So I'm just so happy to see him back on podium. And yeah.
I am going to go with Lando. He cannot convert the pole to a win, but I think he really is driving like kind of future world champion material. And this is the first time we're getting to see him have to live up to kind of his reputation. I feel like he was always talked about as being an extremely fast driver who could compete for wins if he was given the opportunity to do so. And it's amazing to see that being proven extremely correct and him being able to really bring the fight to Max. I also love that they were still friendly and jokey about the incident going into turn one, because yeah. I was wondering how their friendship would fare now that they're actually having widow battles. And it seems like Max was annoyed, but he was joking about it, which was very funny.
I have to play a slight devil's advocate here. We were talking about at watching the race in person this morning, and obviously Lando, incredible race, amazing. But we were like, why is Lando getting driver of the day when he started on pole and couldn't convert it into a win? And yes, he drove well and all that, but it was kind of his to lose, and he didn't really have a great start. So I think we're all super surprised how much the gap was for driver of the day for Lando, just because, yeah, I mean, it was kind of his to lose. And obviously Max is incredible, but...
That's a good point. It goes to show how the standards are changing. When we were joking about how, oh, I don't know if McLaren on podium can be a hot take anymore.
Yeah.
I think there's still this novelty of everyone being so excited to have him up there and have him fighting for a win that he almost gets automatic driver of the day when he is. But now that he's established that he's up there, yeah, if Max or Lewis or I think really any other driver, that's right. If they started on pole and didn't win, I don't know if that would be
driver of the day.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
Definitely not for Max. It would be like, how on earth did he not win?
Worst race of all time.
He would get the MVP. Yeah. For me, I'd say my MVP is less a specific driver, but more the Mercedes-McLaren action and the overall battle for P2 and P3. Like, it really could have been anyone's, and I think that was the most fun for me.
So we have to give a shout out to Alpine.
Yes.
With a double points finish. I feel like it's been a little under the radar just with how many issues they've been having and some of the turmoil at the team, but they have made much bigger gains than the other teams that started the season at the back of the pack. Like, it was not that long ago that they could knock it out of Q1. So double points is really impressive.
And even a bit of a role reversal, like Aston Martin kind of going backwards, Alpine going forward. It's going to be interesting.
Are they back to being a full midfield team? Not quite, but maybe they're
getting there.
They used to be.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I would like that. I would like a redemption arc for Alpine. I feel like it's been a really tough first half of the season.
We loved Alpine the first season that we started doing this podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, not that we don't love them now, but it was a great season for them. Okay, for LVPs, Ferrari, ? I just don't think they needed better than that. And I think also, sadly for me, it's going to be Checo again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he's racing behind and getting compared to a Haas, you're kind of just like, what's going on here? I have to give it to the V-carb upgrades. They really disappointed, I feel like, all weekend. And I know there was some other stuff going on in the race, Yuki's penalty and multiple pit stops and all of that. But yeah, the upgrades just didn't look good this weekend at all. And it's a pretty classic track that you'd think you'd at least see some glimpses of glory. And I feel like we didn't see it at all.
I would say partially Ferrari, agree with Chessa on that. And we haven't talked about this yet, but Lando passed Charles in the Drivers' Championship for P2, which is wild. Overall, I would say stake Sauber for LVP. I was disappointed because Bottas had said after Saturday they had a great quali and it was really their best chance they've had all season to potentially get points and just couldn't convert. And they're still the only team without points. So I really, really hope that changes soon.
But shout out to their social team because they're just killing it. The water bottle video of Bottas, I've watched
so
it like 10 times.
Not a care in the world. They're busy doing more fun things.
He also had a really funny – he's just so funny. He had a great moment in the interview after quali that I was talking about where he was saying it was kind of their best opportunity. And the interviewer was asking – it was in the media pen saying, oh, great quali performance. What do you attribute it to? Kind of a general question like that, and just kind of deadpan, he goes, it's all the driver.
Slay.
I love Bottas. Incredible. For our hot takes, I will gladly kick us off. I said a Lewis podium, which came true. It was only 238 days since his last. I think his last was Mexico Grand Prix in 2023, so last year. But yeah, it's been a long time coming, and it's his 198th career podium. It's his 18th consecutive year scoring a podium in F1. So I just have to give myself that credit and give Lewis the credit he deserves.
Yeah,
that is such a good one. Mine was a complete disaster, so I'm glad yours worked out. Mine was a Carlos win. Instead of a Carlos win, we just had steward Carlos trying to get everyone penalties and not succeeding, which – I I love the initiative, but it didn't work out.
Yeah, very he was creative. Busy. He was busy on the radio this weekend just trying to watch everyone else's race. Well, mine was Carlos' podium and then Alonso in the top five. So not a great weekend for me, not a great weekend for the Spaniards. Moving on. Okay, let's talk about practice really quick. So overall, Aston Martin and VCarb were struggling, and both Red Bull and Ferrari were actually complaining a lot about their car issues. The highlight here was Oli Behrmann driving FP1 for Haas in Nico's car. He has four more practice sessions coming up for Haas this season. And then for FP3, Norris impeded Leclerc, and they got into that little bit of a tussle, made some contact, and then Charles got a reprimand for his driving.
For quali, a lot of upgrades brought across the board this weekend, like we talked about in the preview. Very varying degrees of success as we started to see in quali. So in Q1, we talked about the VCarb upgrades not looking good right out of the gate. Alonso was also having to really work for it at his home race, but he did manage to get into Q2. Both Saubers got into Q2, so that was very exciting. Joe's first Q2 appearance of the year in traditional qualifying. Out we had K-Mag, both V-Carbs, and both Williams. And this was sad because Albon had been looking strong in practice. So that was kind of a bummer. Not a great weekend for Williams.
For Q2, also both Alpines through, and they were looking pretty good. Checo was right on the edge in the drop zone. He only made it into Q3 on his last flying lap. So again, really on the edge here.
Keeping with Hamilton. Hamilton and Bono were giving me a heart attack in Q2.
And then for cuts, we had both Aston Martins, both Saubers, and Hülkenberg. Alonso was so close making Q3, but didn't quite make it. It felt like he was pushing so hard all weekend and just couldn't make it happen. But that meant both Alpines were through to Q3, another kind of sleeper hit for quali. It was very exciting.
So for Q3, that was a tough run for Piastri. His first lap was deleted for track limits, and then he had a big gravel run, wasn't able to set a lap. And there was also some early drama with George cursing on the radio, very rare, about feeling like Lewis, his teammate, was impeding him. So we had Max on provisional pole, and then the Ferraris were actually looking like the main competitors. They got provisional P2 and then P3. And then, like Tiggy said, about a little bit of a heart attack there at the last minute on the last flying lap. Mercedes was flying up there. They slotted in P3 and P4. And then literally at the last minute, we got Lando on pole. This was his second pole of the career, of his career, extremely well celebrated. So in the end, we had Lando and Max on the front row. And then we had Lewis, George, Charles, Carlos, Gasly, Checo, Ocon, and Piastri. And fun fact, this is Lewis's first top six quali result in 2024.
That was a depressing stat.
Whoa. Yeah.
So depressing.
Good for him, though.
There was a funny meme. Did you see the Hamilton impersonator this weekend?
Yes. Yeah.
Lewis Lamilton or whatever. There was a meme that was like Lewis Hamilton on Saturday, and it was like that guy, and then Lewis Hamilton on Sunday. It's like the real So I was glad that was not the case. So for the race, first off, the energy looked amazing at the track. Carlos fans really doing the wave, totally decked out in red. The Spaniards brought the energy, and also for Alonso, of course, as well. Literally everybody started on softs except Albon. We haven't had that in a bit, and we'll talk about how tire strategy really played into it. There was a right and a wrong strategy with tires this race, but we have to talk about the best start of the season. It was absolutely unreal. We were screaming. I did try to post that video of watching live, but you can see my camera like going all over the place because we were screaming. But Max and Lando were wheel to wheel. Lando kind of pushed Max off onto the grass on the right. And I think Lando was just focused on Max. But that tussle then gave an opportunity for George to get through on the outside with the double overtake. And also, Hamilton, I thought it was Hamilton because Hamilton started P3. And so I was like, oh my God, this is insane. But yeah, the Ferraris touched. They were upset. Carlos was going for the overtake. Charles hit his rear right. They were both complaining about each other on the radio. So it was just a crazy, crazy start. And
it reminded me, was it Silverstone 2022? That was the crew goes Hamilton.
Yeah. Best moment of my life.
It was incredible. And then Max had a great overtake of George on lap two around the outside. It was so tight up at the top. So the running was Max, George, and Lando. There was some crazy wheel action, especially at turn one. All of these overtakes, like Lando and George, Max and George, it's shocking there wasn't more contact. It was real.
Every car finished. I was surprised.
No flags, no safety cars. Really surprising.
Yeah, given how people were driving, for sure. And Max and Lando at the start. There were some slow stops in the first pit stop. So it was a debate whether it was going to be a 2 or 3 stop race, actually. And so the pit stop started pretty early. This really hurt George. He had an almost 7 second stop with a wheel stuck.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, of course, Red Bull pulls off a 1.9 second stop for Max, tying their record for the season from China. Just unbelievable. F. Callum or F1 Mechanic on Instagram posted it. That team is unreal. 1.9 seconds.
And then Checo, we were watching, and Checo had kind of a slow stop later in the race, and it was 2.8 seconds. And we were like, come on, Red Bull.
And everyone else was having, again, not crazy slow, but it felt like a lot of people were in the 3 second range. Like, the stops were not very good overall. And then Lando got asked if he wanted to pit to cover George, and he said, no, I want to fight Max. He was being really aggressive on strategy, wanting to go for the win. We love it. I feel like maybe he was a little bit too aggressive on his own strategy.
He wanted to win.
But yeah. I like that. I mean, he couldn't have finished any better if he weren't going for Max, you know?
Totally. He did get undercut, but then he was able to make it up on track. He had some great overtakes of the Mercedes. He had that really good back and forth with Russell. It was really exciting.
For turn one with Hamilton, he really sent it. He got on the inside of Sainz. They touched. And there was a lot of attempted stewarding from Sainz, like we mentioned earlier on the radio. So he was mad about the contact with Charles and was upset that they didn't take the action against Lewis. So he said, quote, I don't understand why there's a rule book and we don't follow it. That was a great runner-up for Radio of the Week. I loved that he said that because it's honestly kind of true. But as we know, like the FIA, it's always going to be gray areas. And I just always get super astonished that these drivers are trying to call all these different shots while also full-on wheel-to-wheel racing. It's incredible. For the last into the race, it was Max, Lando, and then Russell slightly ahead of Hamilton. So with 15 laps left, Lewis had a nice smooth overtake of George on the outside at turn one. Did not seem that contentious at all, which is always kind of nice to see with teammates because sometimes it can get a little bit spicy. Lando was 6 seconds back, pushing flat out, and GP basically asked Max to drive faster and keep that gap. So it was pretty tight. Lando closed the gap to 2 seconds by the finish, but Max was able to hang on for the win. But 2 second gap in what could have been one of Max's traditional like 20 second ahead races was good.
And we didn't mention the other gold GP moment at the beginning where he was like, Max, like, I think he said, like, be like, think wisely now. This is our chance or something about passing Lando. And Max did it in like 2 seconds after that. I was like, classic.
Telling Max, I love their radio dynamic.
So speaking of Red Bull, iconic stuff for Max, as always. So fun to watch when he has to fight for it. Like we said, you can really see his talent. And I think he's proving the adage that it's not just the car, it is the driver as well.
Clearly.
And, you know, his tires were wrecked at the end. It was definitely a race that he had to stay awake in. So, fun fact, Max pulled into the lead of the Drivers' Championship during this race in 2022 and stayed in the lead ever since. So, he has not been losing the Drivers' Championship since 2020, like mid-season 2022.
That must be a nice spot to be in.
Crazy stat. And yeah, I really liked that he was such a good sport about the Lando incident because he did get pushed into the grass on the run into turn one. And that's part of what let George through. And so I'm sure maybe his perspective would have been different if he didn't end up winning. And that's why he was able to be so relaxed about it. But I thought that was interesting. I'm happy to see everyone getting along so well. And him and Lewis seem to get along well now.
Yeah, the moment in the cool down room or press conference room where Lewis was on the lying down on the couch and Max was like, you getting old there, buddy?
I cannot believe I'm saying this, but he really is growing on me. I feel like he is getting more and more mature. And like, obviously when you're winning and far ahead, you know, you can have that. So it might be a different story, but I do love seeing all of that. Quickly to round out Red Bull, Checo had a 3-place grid penalty for dragging debris on the track in Canada. So really, which was not part of the conversation at all this weekend. The announcers were talking about him pitting to cover Hülkenberg on his pit stop. So yeah, being compared to Haas and having to fight with the Haases is not great. There were a lot of overtakes this race. He probably feels like he could have made up more ground than just P8, but that's where we had him at the end.
For Ferrari, the main story with Ferrari was really the teammate drama here after that early contact. But at the end of the race, Sainz was a team player and he let Charles through at the end when he was on hards and Charles was on a better strategy on softs. He just let him through, which was good. Definitely some testiness here. After the race, Carlos made a comment about how Charles always complains after the race. It just seemed like the energy was off for sure. P5 and P6 finished, but they just looked pretty noticeably behind Mercedes and McLaren. But on the bright side, because there is a good fact in here, Sainz continued his perfect record, 10 out of 10 of scoring points at his home race.
Wow, that's amazing. 10 races at his home race. That's quite impressive. For Mercedes, Lewis's first podium this season, as we said, it was really great just to see him so happy, seeming optimistic again about the car and the team. He was, his radio message was really happy. He sounded genuinely pleased. And Toto was happy, especially during quali, after like quali day. Toto was kind of smiley and we don't see Toto like that very often. So unfortunately, George couldn't quite make it to podium this race, but he did have a strong drive. That first lap was iconic. I think he was just on the worst strategy with the hard tires at the end and obviously the pit stop. But the one thing we do have to mention, and unclear if this is conspiracy theory stage or something that really is possible, but there are the rumors of potentially sabotaging Hamilton's car. There were emails that were sent to the same email address apparently as the Christian Horner files were sent to, and Mercedes has called the police to conduct an investigation about that, saying it's theoretically life-threatening to Lewis if this is happening. So I am going to be watching this closely. Very curious what's going on. This would be next level news. Yeah.
Nuts. The news was like such a flurry about it on Friday. It's quieted down, obviously, because we had the race this weekend, but we will continue to monitor extremely closely. For McLaren, like we've been saying, great stuff from Lando, looking like future world championship material. And he had the perfect lap in quali, really brought the fight to Max the entire race. He's the only driver to finish in the points at every race this season, because remember, we had a Max DNF. So Lando is really, truly the best here. He was being really harsh on himself about the start. It was a bummer. Like we said, it was kind of his to lose, and he didn't end up grabbing that win. But this is McLaren's first podium here since 2011, and the past six races have been their strongest streak of podiums since 2011. So I think a lot to write home about. For Oscar, sadly, he did not have the best weekend. He had a little bit of struggles in quali and then just didn't have enough pace during the race, and he couldn't really defend at all against Max when he was passing him. So P7 was pretty good if you consider it sort of damage control vibes, but there, you know, a lot to look up to for him. And then another piece of news for McLaren was there was a fire in their motorhome, which was kind of scary. Everyone was okay. They called the fire brigade and everything was fine, but I feel like we haven't really had that.
No.
So spooky.
Terrifying. Zach Brown posted about it. They were really thanking the fire marshals and taking pictures with them. And there was that crazy kind of funny in hindsight, knowing that everybody's okay, but picture of Lando just kind of out there in his socks. It was like very chaotic vibes. It's like so crazy.
For Aston Martin, Alonso was just pushing so hard during the race, but could not get the pace he needed. He got lapped by the leaders, which was just definitely not the race he wanted for his home race. Ended up P12 for Alonso and P14 for Stroll.
For VCARB, definitely a weekend to forget about. After struggling with upgrades, having technical issues, Danny was P15, Yuki P19 with the penalty. Definitely outperforming Yuki is what Danny needs if he wants to make a strong case for a seat next year. He did say that he absolutely believes he's confident that he should be on the grid. We did a poll this weekend and most of you seem to agree with him. So we'll see. I agree with you, Danny. To continue the performance, although outperforming P15 and P19 is still tough.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Okay, for Alpine, very solid double points finish in P9 and P10. They have had quite the turnaround compared to never being able to get out of Q1 at the start of the season. So this could be the start of something new maybe for Alpine. Another huge news item that we talked about in our newsreel like the week before last, but Flavio Briatore has come on as an advisor for Alpine. So he was at the center of the 2008 Crashgate scandal, telling Nelson Piquet Jr. to crash in Singapore so that Alonso could win the race. But this is kind of a homecoming for him. So a lot to talk about here. But So the Alpine organizational reshuffle continues. I think they're just trying to bring in all the good chops that they can. So we'll see what Flavio can do.
But it's interesting off the back of the Renault rumors that Alpine could be dropping Renault, because Flavio was asked to come by the Renault CEO himself. So I wonder if that goes against the fact that they may be dropping Renault. But yeah, Flavio, super experienced, but definitely a controversial figure in the F1 world.
For stake, like we said, P13 for Joe, P16 for Bottas. It was sad because they were not able to convert a strong Saturday. Bottas had said, though, that the race would really need to be flawless for them to compete for points. That didn't quite happen. He lost place off the line. The soft tires degraded too much for them. But fingers crossed for the rest of this triple header.
For Haas, K-Mag got a 5-second penalty for a false start. They are really enforcing this strictly recently, and also just not good for K-Mag to keep getting penalties. And Hülkenberg also got a 5-second penalty for speeding in the pit lane. He did still manage P11, so that's good. And to round out the teams, Williams, not a weekend to write home about for them. Logan got a 3-place grid penalty for impeding Stroll and quali. Albon started from the pit lane. P18 for Albon and P20 for Logan. So not the best.
Okay, friends, today we're talking about sleep and specifically getting better sleep. If you can relate to having trouble falling asleep and staying asleep and getting good quality sleep, then listen up. We are so excited to share a new product we've been using from Beam, their Dream Powder. Our listeners will get a special discount on this Dream Powder. It's a science-backed, healthy hot cocoa for sleep with no added sugar. It tastes insane. I did it last night and I woke up this Monday morning feeling incredibly refreshed. I gave it to my little sister and she loved it too. They also have amazing flavors, sea salt caramel, brownie batter, vanilla chai, and then of course the original flavor, cinnamon cocoa. It's been tested for high quality efficacy and formulated to ease your body into rest, supporting all four stages of the sleep cycle to help you stay asleep longer and fall asleep faster. Other sleep aids can cause next day grogginess, but Dream contains a powerful all natural blend of reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, apigenin, and melatonin to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. If you want to try the best-selling Dream Powder, get up to 40% off for a limited time when you go to shopbeam.com/paddockproject and use code paddockproject at checkout. That's shopbeam.com/paddockproject and use code paddockproject for up to 40% off. Like most people, we love a great deal, but what we don't love is jumping through a million hoops just to end up saving a few dollars, especially when it comes to wireless plans. There's so many promos and offers out there, but they do really make it hard to get good quality savings. With Mint Mobile, it really is so easy though. For just $15 a month, you can get a wireless plan when you get a 3-month plan. And the website and activation process are so seamless. Honestly, the longest part of this process is going to be the time that you spend on hold trying to break up with your old provider. To get started, go to mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. There you can see that right now all 3-month plans are only $15 a month, including the unlimited plan. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan, and you can bring your old phone number along with all of your existing contacts. So to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. That's mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions may apply. We have been very busy lately and have been really trying to do everything we can to feel our best as we wind up the summer and head into a very busy fall. And one thing we've been doing to help us and support us is using our Happy Mammoth products, especially Estro Control. It helps to support our hormones and alleviate any of those pesky PMS symptoms, including bloating. And it also assists in maintaining cognitive health and promoting liver function and digestive health. Happy Mammoth also has the amazing Hormone Harmony supplement dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women, and they make no compromise when it comes to quality. For a limited time, get 15% off your order at happymammoth.com with code F1RTheGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code F1RTheGirls for 15% off today.
We also had F1 Academy this weekend. It was exciting. So for the results, we had Abby Pulling really sweeping the weekend. She topped the charts at the only FP or the only free practice session of the weekend. Then she had Bianca and Hamda Al-Kubaisi after her. They did one quali session with two different times, and Abby got the double pole position. And what's really cool about F1 Academy, we've said this before, is that they're all driving the same car. So this is kind of one of the situations where it really does come down to the drivers, and the spreads are super tight. So for quali one, the gap between Abby in P1 and then Nerea Marti in P3 was only 0.13 seconds. And then we had Chloe Chambers in P2. And then quali two was similar. We had Abby and Chloe in P1 and P2. And then we had Dorian Pont in P3. And the gap was still super close at 0.25 seconds across all three. So I love to see that it's super competitive.
It is. And it was a home race for Nerea.
So amazing.
And she got a podium for race one. So for race one, Nerea was on the podium, Chloe Chambers as well, and then Abby Pulling got her fourth consecutive victory. A bit of an eventful race. There was a lap one safety car due to a collision between Maya Woog and Amna Al-Kabesi. And also Jess Egger got a 5-second penalty for a false start, which is interesting since we've had a few of those recently in F1 after it. And it seems overall like they're really starting to look much more closely at the starting grid and any type of movement.
Policing that for sure. For race two, Chloe Chambers got her maiden victory. So exciting. And she's American, so we love to see that. And she told Sky Sports that this was a huge boost to her confidence. So really incredible. She started P2, but was able to get past Abby Pulling into turn one and hung on to the lead from there. So Abby got P2, and then Hamda Al-Kubaisi also had a great race and rounded out the podium in P3. So amazing racing from them all weekend. So fun to see everybody showing up and showing out for it. And the ladies just being super competitive.
Okay, and now what we'll do is we'll give you guys a quick little Austrian GP preview before we leave you. So this race holds a very special place in our heart. It was our first European race when we went last year. Stunning venue, rolling hills. We literally were singing Sound of Music in the rental car, obviously. It's held at the Red Bull Ring in Spielberg, which is in the region of Styria and the Austrian countryside. It's a really cool setting. We stayed in the city of Graz, which received us with open arms. We absolutely love that city. So if you want the full IRL experience, listen to our recap from last year. But it's a very traditional European race, historic vibes, camping, all of that. And it's the Red Bull home race. So even though Red Bull Racing is based out of the UK, the Red Bull parent company is Austrian, aptly named the Red Bull Ring. And of course, Max has dominated this race for many years. He has dedicated grandstands.
Every grandstand there is a Max Verstappen grandstand, let's be real.
Yeah, we were definitely with a lot of Max fans. Never forget when we met the governor of Styria at this race also. Yes. And it was our first time ever in a garage. This was just the best race ever.
And it was my birthday. It was the best.
Yeah.
So for the circuit, it's 4.3 kilometers. It's a very short track. So it's 71 laps. It's only 10 turns in a pretty simple track overall, but there's a ton of elevation changes, which is very cool. This is one of my favorite circuits, and I think it's a driver favorite as well. The first few turns are up a big hill, and when you're there in person, it's pretty awesome to see, because with elevation changes, no matter where you're sitting, you can see a lot more of the track than you would normally see. So we were at turn 10, and you can see all the way through turn one, which is amazing. Drivers have compared this track to a roller coaster ride because the race starts uphill and goes into what's basically a blind turn for turn one. There's three DRS zones, so it packs in a lot for such a tiny circuit.
Yes. And since it's such a short lap, it's really punishing on errors, especially in quali. So it's usually very tight. And we've seen some incredibly tight spreads in quali recently. So I think this is going to be super exciting. And another thing to look out for is track limits, which drivers have struggled with in the past. We were sitting at turn 10 last year, and so we saw most of the track limits were happening at that corner, and it was just insane. And something interesting is there are several off-camber turns, which is hard to visualize, but it means that the track is sort of sloped outward. So like you're driving on a tilted surface that's tilted away from the way you're turning. So a little bit of a weird situation, but it's also going to be a sprint weekend. So we are excited for that.
And quick little bit of history. While we don't have any current F1 drivers that are Austrian, the country, of course, has a very long history with F1, first of all. The one and only Toto Wolff is from Vienna. And then former world champion Niki Lauda was born in Vienna and is the only Austrian to have won the Austrian GP.
For the last race, first off, before the race even began, we saw right in front of us, literally in front of our seats, the moment of the jetpack man crashing onto the track, which was so stressful. It just went completely quiet for a minute because no one knew
there was
if he
gasp.
Was okay at first before, and then he just popped right up.
Well, so we can thank that moment for the Oscar meme that is still epic to this day of him drinking out of the water bottle straw. That look on his face.
So funny. And it was a bit rainy, so the sprint race was pretty slippery. We saw Joe spin out at lap 9 in front of us. Max won the sprint by a huge margin, and then we had Checo and Charles. Like Tiki was saying, the main talking point was really track limits. There were over 1,200 incidents reported to the stewards, over 100 lap times deleted. And like we were saying, it turned out we could see this in person. I feel like a lot of the times track limits are pretty marginal and you kind of barely see what you can definitely kind of still see some part of the car over the white line. And you could just see every single car basically blatantly flying over the lines at turn 10.
It was so, fun. We were like, yeah, that one, that we were like trying to guess, or like trying to be our own little FIA moment over there, trying to decide who got what. But this is where Ocon broke the record for most penalties in a single race with 4, breaking his own record, which had previously been 3. And the other really exciting moment from last year was the huge jump McLaren made with their updates to Lando's car. Like Sarah said, we were in that garage and it was so cool to see the differences. And yeah, they've been looking really strong ever since. So we were happy to be there. And then the race results were Max, Charles, and then Checo.
So for some team stuff, starting with some of the top teams, Red Bull, big home race energy for them, like we said. And as we've seen, even in the tighter field, Max is able to extract absolutely everything from the car and win wheel-to-wheel fights. So the big question is whether Checo has had his third or half season drop off. We will see how long we have to keep saying this until he proves himself back again. But that's for Red Bull. For Ferrari, after 2 back-to-back races with less than ideal results, all eyes will continue to be on them to see if they can get back into form, especially after the upgrades they brought to Spain didn't really translate as they had hoped. And of course, all eyes on Carlos as everyone patiently waits for him to announce where he'll be headed next year.
For Mercedes, it'll be really exciting to see if their upgrade package and success in Canada and Barcelona will continue to translate to new tracks. And for McLaren, Lando said this is one of his favorite tracks. So much excitement ahead. I'm really going to be watching him closely. And I also hope Oscar can recover from a bit of an off weekend. It's great that an off weekend was still P7, but him and the car weren't on his best form this weekend.
Okay, sorry, I was writing my hot take. So for the midfield and back of the pack, Aston Martin was obviously really disappointed how things shook out for Alonso in Spain, so they'll be looking to get back on top. Stake is still pointless after not being able to convert in Barcelona. Fingers crossed for better luck soon. Not much else to say about that. And VCAR brought updates that really didn't work out in Spain, so hopefully that's more just technical growing pains and a little bit of difficulties that they can try to overcome, or then if not, we'll see if it's, you know, upgrades that really didn't work. So speaking of which, let's get into our hot takes. For me, the Ferrari upgrades did not really translate this weekend in Barcelona, so I'm gonna keep with this theme that I have and get a Ferrari on podium as my hot take.
Mine, I'm gonna say Oscar podium. I did kind of say that McLaren on podium couldn't be a hot take anymore, but since Oscar had a bit of an off weekend, I feel like it's allowed this time.
We make our own rules here.
Well, mine would not have been a hot take 5 races ago, but I'm going with the Checo podium coming in hot. He's going to redeem himself and enter himself back into the conversation.
I would love Checo win.
That's so hot. Okay, ladies. I'm going to start with a podium.
Hold on. We'll go from there. Jeez.
And then Checo to come back in style. So for standings heading into Austria, for constructors, Red Bull still on top with 330, Ferrari with 270, McLaren still a little bit of a ways back with 237, and then Mercedes with 151. Then there's a big drop off to Aston Martin with 58. And for drivers, Max, of course, is still in P1 with 219 points. The big excitement here and the big change was Lando moving into P2, highest place ever in the driver standings. Really exciting. He has 150 points, but Charles is, of course, super tight with 148. And then we have Carlos with 116 and Checo with 111.
And to wrap up, just a few quick words on SailGP. They were in New York City this weekend. I got to go to an event on Friday, which was amazing. Their chief impact officer was there and running it. And we talked so much about what they're doing with sustainability and diversity and how they're envisioning the growth of the series. So, so much to look into there. Obviously, it's a series that is directly impacted by nature more so than maybe any other sport. You're literally on the water, which is super cool. So tons to that I learned. And if you're interested, just DM us and happy to talk through any of it. But also went to the race in person yesterday or also went to the race in person on Saturday on the water. And these boats are insane. They go over 60 miles per hour and just a feat of engineering and craziness. So yeah, we did a little video, SailGP 101. So check that out on Instagram or TikTok. But it was so cool. I always love learning about new series.
And shout out to Fiona, who is interning with us this summer and went with Tiggy.
Yes, Fiona's the best. And with that, we will catch you on the other side of Austria. So excited for the race. And thanks for tuning in.